This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. We are going to continue to bounce back and forth between the NCAA tournament on a national level and also here a local level. Missouri plays Drake coming up later today. Kansas also plays Arkansas later today. Those two teams tip off. Kansas tips off at 6:10 and Missouri tips off at 6:35. So you're going to have some dual TV action. The YouTube TV multi-view is going to be working for a lot of you tonight. Your tournament coverage is brought to you by 96.5 The Fan. It's also brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Let's head to Providence, Rhode Island right now to be joined by friend of the show, Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Mike, happy to have you on the show today. Let's start with this. What advantages do you see Kansas having in their matchup against Arkansas?
I think generally there are some positive aspects of this matchup for KU. You know, you look at teams that KU, I think, has really struggled with. As of late, it's kind of the high-octane offenses, right, that shoot a lot of threes and that do a really good job of creating those looks. Arkansas is not that team. You know, they're very similarly profiled to KU in terms of the way they rely on the three-point line. I would say the difference with Arkansas is that they do such a fantastic job of getting the free-throw line, whereas KU doesn't do that. But both teams are really built around scoring inside the arc, and I think for KU, the types of games that I think the Jayhawks can have success in are these games where they can kind of go shot for shot, two-pointer for two-pointer, rather than having to try and make up for a barrage of threes the other team can have. So from that side of it, I think it is a good matchup. Now, I will say athletic guards is something that KU just has generally struggled with this year. I think you can look at a game like Arizona in the Big 12 tournament. You can look what UCF did with their athletic guards to KU. That, for me, is a big concern going into this game, because if all of a sudden you're looking at the under 12 timeout, and KU's kind of gone cold offensively, and all of a sudden Hunter Dickinson picks up a second foul because KU can't guard and keep the Arkansas perimeter players in front of them, that's a tough spot for KU to be in. So I think some aspects of this matchup are favorable for KU, and I think there are also some other parts that are going to give you some concerns, but I think that's going to be the case with any sort of 7-10, 8-9, you know, any sort of game like this where it's a good team you're playing. This isn't a 16 seed or a 15 seed where there's going to be such a huge talent advantage that it doesn't really matter what the other team does well. When you're in a game like this, the other team's going to have stuff they do well. I think for KU tonight, it's going to be about how do they guard on the perimeter? Can they do a good job on ball screen defense and really, really force Arkansas into some bad mid-range jump shots?
You're mentioning the perimeter. What really stands out to me is just the size matchup down low. You got Hunter Dickinson, who was a third-team All-American. You got Big Z for Arkansas, a talented seven-footer. I think that is what's going to define this matchup. If KU gets the Hunter Dickinson that has 22 and 11, I think they win this game. If Arkansas can figure out a way to neutralize Hunter Dickinson and KJ Adam with their own size, then I think that's a game that Arkansas can win. I think down low is where this game is going to be won or lost.
Yeah, and for KU especially, right, because of, I mean, Hunter's played at such a high level as of late, and KU really has played through him. The front court matchup here is really interesting because, you know, obviously Brazil for Arkansas is on a heater as of late, shooting the ball from three. But, you know, you think about KU and, you know, they play two bigs with KJ and Hunter, and the matchup that I think this game provides KU is a little bit more favorable in the front court. And I think, you know, with Hunter, KU's just got to do a good job of feeding him. And I think when you look at what Hunter has done, he has been getting more low post touches. It's not been the mid block to the elbow where he's getting the ball. He's getting it low and in really good starting positions. And so I think for KU, right, playing through Hunter is going to be the number one priority, because then you got to make Arkansas try and stop that. And when that happens, maybe they're having to send a Brazil or an Adu to double, right, if Arkansas is playing with the two bigs. And then Hunter can use his passing ability, and that's been something that I think as of late he's done a really good job of, is when teams are double-teaming him, he's been able to find his teammates. And those guys have, you know, if you're Zeke Mayo, right, he's been making shots from three, but other guys like KJ have done a great job of playing off of Hunter. So, look, games like this, you play through your best player. And Hunter Dickinson is by far KU's best player, and he needs to touch the ball much more often than not.
Right now we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks, getting you ready for tonight's matchup between the Jayhawks and the Razorbacks. Michael, let's talk about this. What's the relationship like between these two coaches? This is the 14th time that these two guys have gone up against one another, and we've seen different iterations. We've seen these two go against each other in the national championship when John Calipari was in Memphis. They did the exact same thing when he was at Kentucky. Now we are at round three, where these two guys are at Kansas and Arkansas, respectively. How have you seen this relationship grow over the years?
Well, I think it's something where I think with age comes understanding. And I think early on, right, I think I'm not breaking any news here, that I think, you know, these two coaches had a good rivalry, right? You know, Kentucky and Kansas for a long time were two of the biggest schools on the recruiting trail and were fighting for similar kids. And I think the coaches took very different approaches to building rosters. But I think you see this really across the sport with some of the older coaches now, where I don't know if rivalry is the right word, but I think some of those relationships that maybe they previously had, you know, I think they soften a little bit as time goes on, as people are around more. And so I think just being around the two coaches, you can sense, right, they've got a tremendous amount of respect, but I think they also, you know, over time probably can enjoy the time around each other maybe a little bit more than they would have, you know, 10 years ago.
Is there a single player on Arkansas that you're worried about in this matchup? Is there a guy you think could go for 20? Is there a guy you think could be the difference maker and causes KU to be eliminated in round one?
Well, I think you look at DJ Wagner and John L. Davis as two guys that, hey, if those guys all of a sudden go out there and they make four threes or five threes in a game, like, shoot, man, like that's just tough to live with. I think an underrated matchup in this game is going to be what Brazil does for Arkansas, because at the four spot, right, it means basically either Florey or Hunter is going to have to guard him for about 15 minutes of the game. And that is going to be such a fascinating period because of the pick-and-pop ability that Brazil has and what he has done of late shooting from three. If there's a guy that at the end of this game, if you're a KU fan and you're, like, you know, on your knees screaming at the sky, like, you know, rue this guy, it may be him, because he is the type of guy that all of a sudden you give him four or five opportunities, he's going to convert right now with the way he is shooting the basketball. He's going to convert on more than half, I'd be willing to bet. So I think he's the type of guy that KU's going to have to slow down the guards, but they can't have this type of performance where they are too focused on the guard play and all of a sudden you're leaving a guy open for a pick and pop for a wide open three. And I think that's been something that I think KU at times this year has allowed too much of, right, is some of those shots off ball screens. So I think really the guards are going to be hard to stop, but I think someone like Brazil could be an X factor in this game if KU's going to win it.
We know in order for KU to win, we know who the big three are and who needs to play well. You need Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, and DeJuan Harris to play well. Who is the X factor potentially in this matchup? Who do you think can swing things in the Jayhawks' favor?
Well, I think it's got to be Zeke Mayo, right? You look at what he, you know, for much of the season, he struggled shooting outside of Allen Fieldhouse, and then he goes to Kansas City and has a great weekend shooting the ball from deep. I think KU in this game, they're going to need someone that's going to have to get their own shot at times and create their own shot off the balance. And that was one of the most encouraging parts, I think, of what Zeke showed you in Kansas City was some of the step back threes he made, some of the shots where it was just him against his guy going and making shots. I think that's the type of thing that KU is going to need in this type of game because of the style. And I think this could end. I think if KU wins out, they're going to try and slow this pace down a little bit because Arkansas wants to go fast. But you're going to need guys that can, at the end of the shot clock, go and get you a bucket. And I think Zeke is going to have to be one of those guys this game because you look at the other guys in the starting lineup, right? Ryland isn't that guy. KJ's not that guy. Hunter's not that guy. And DeJuan's not that guy. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on Zeke, I think, to be kind of that crucial factor offensively.
Mike, I think that KU's winning this game. I've seen KU in person 4 times this year. I've obviously watched them a lot on television. I've watched Arkansas a handful of times against Missouri in the SEC. I watched a lot of SEC basketball this year. I think that Kansas has a better coach than Arkansas. I think they have more talent than Arkansas. I think the injuries right now to the Razorbacks, I think that is going to be the difference. I like KU to win this game. This feels like an 81-72 Jayhawk win in my mind.
Yeah, I do have KU winning. I think that in terms of the style, right, if KU is able to get this thing to be a slower game like I think they would like, I think that bodes really well because of the way the Hunter's playing right now. And with Arkansas, they can just be erratic offensively. And I think this is the type of game where if KU can protect the paint like they've done for so much of this year, if all of a sudden, you know, Wagner and Davis and even if Boogie Flan is able to come out and play 15 minutes, if those guys are settling for two-point jumpers, or they're settling for threes, like, man, I think KU will live with that. So I think KU is going to have the game plan. Bill Self has been incredible in his career in the first game of a weekend. Now, granted, if you're Bill Self, right, a lot of the time you're a one seed or a two seed, so you're playing 16s and 15 seeds. But then you can look at a Sweet 16 record. The Sweet 16 record is very strong, and that gives me some encouragement that when KU gets time to prepare for an opponent that is equal, they're able to come out with a great game plan, and they tend to win. So that gives me some optimism, I think, for a game like this later tonight.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for 24/7 Sports covering the Jayhawk. Michael, I hope that tomorrow when we have this conversation, it is a positive one. And you know what? I hope the Jayhawks advance.
Yeah, well, hey, hopefully I'm not calling you from an airport. How about that?
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show. All right, this is what we're going to do. Let's step aside. Let's take a break. Let's recap everything that has happened today in the NCAA tournament. We'll talk a little bit about Kansas and Missouri. We're going to be joined by Sam Snelling of Rock M Nation coming up in about 30 minutes or so. They cover the Missouri Tigers. We'll talk about the games that are coming up later tonight in the NCAA tournament as well. We are your basketball home here on 96.5 The Fan. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday as we are getting you ready for Kansas takes on Arkansas. That game comes up in about 2 hours. Missouri takes on Drake. That game happens in about 2.5 hours. So, yes, if you got two TVs, both TVs are going to be getting a workout today. In fact, this is why you have multiple televisions when there are multiple sporting events that you want to watch, Kansas and Arkansas, and also Missouri and Drake. All right, let's do this. We are going to go through every game that has happened so far in the NCAA tournament and give you our thoughts. We're going to be joined by Sam Snelling, who covers the Missouri Tigers, coming up in about 20 minutes or so to help get you ready for that matchup. All right, Rob, take it away. Before you do that, let me remind you that tournament coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views.
All right, Carrington, let's start as we look around the tournament with the games that are active and going. Let's start with the one we've been monitoring the whole time. The ACC's second-best team, Clemson, is getting worked over. Although they've cut the deficit a little bit, it is now at 15. McNeese State leads 53-38. Carrington, I will give you credit where credit is due. You have been saying all week, the ACC stinks.
Yeah, I've been telling you this. So I just saw this. If Clemson loses this game, and it certainly looks like they are going to lose, if they lose, there will only be two teams left in the ACC. That will be the fewest amount of teams that the ACC has had at this stage of the tournament since the tournament expanded to 64 teams. We are talking about a long time since the ACC has been this down. Now, before we talk about Duke more specifically, let's talk about Clemson. Clemson just didn't play well enough to realistically give yourself a chance to win this game. You cannot shoot it worse than Clemson did. Clemson was 5 of 24 in the first half, and they were 1 of 15 from 3 in the first half of the game. I don't care who you are playing. You are not beating anybody if you shoot it as poorly as they shot it in the first half. If you want to now look as we are in the final 6 minutes of the game, I mean, Clemson is shooting 28%, and they are 3 of 20 from 3. You are not beating anybody if you shoot it that poorly and factor in the fact that you have 13 turnovers. Clemson did everything in their power to get run off the floor today as a 7.5-point favorite.
Speaking of teams getting run off the floor right now, let's go to the 8-9 matchup. And it is Gonzaga and Georgia. The winner will face the Houston Cougars. Georgia is getting absolutely run off the floor in the Battle of Bulldogs. This is currently 40-23. Gonzaga is all over Georgia. Carrington, I'm not saying the SEC, it's a referendum on the SEC.
I don't think we can do that for Georgia.
I agree.
Georgia, that was the 13th team in the SEC.
Why are they a 9 seed? I think they're a tournament team.
That part's fair.
Because they feel like Oklahoma to me, and what are they doing on the 9 seed?
Now, really, now, I guess, to guys, we can be on the same page with this. I don't disagree that the bottom half of the SEC got the benefit of the doubt. There's no question about it. Vanderbilt was safely in the tournament. Texas was in the play-in game, even though they won 6 games in the SEC. There is no question to me that we ran with the SEC as the best conference. And sure, that might have been the case with Florida. That might have been the case with Alabama or Auburn and those teams. We started selling that dream with schools that ain't never been good at basketball. We were selling that dream with Vanderbilt this upcoming season. Georgia is a run-of-the-mill average team. And I do think that this is one of those years that Gonzaga got kind of underseeded because this isn't one of those special teams. They've had some teams where they've had Jalen Suggs or Chet Holmgren or Adam Morrison. They went 14-4 in a good league, and they went 25-8. If anything, this tells you that Gonzaga shouldn't have been seeded as an 8 seed. Gonzaga is probably a 4 or a 5 seed, but they just don't have the glow this year. They don't have the future pros, but we're talking about a Mark Few. I mean, this was the most obvious 8-9 matchup of all of them, I think, to pick, was Gonzaga in a game against the 11th best team in the SEC.
I think this is one of those two things being true at the same time thing. The SEC got a little bit of benefit of the doubt with the riffraff at the bottom.
100%.
Oklahoma.
I agree.
Yeah. But also, you know, this show loves KenPom. KenPom has Gonzaga as a top 5 team. Both things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a couple of things. I think the committee undervalued the Big East. And Creighton shouldn't have been a 9 seed. And I think that there has been a disrespect to Gonzaga this year because they're not one of those marquee teams this year. That is a really, really good basketball team.
Speaking of games that are going on right now, another trendy upset pick people watched was VCU over BYU is not going that way early going as we've just got out of halftime and BYU is up 48-34 over VCU. Carrington, outside of McNeese State, this has been a pretty chalky first window, and teams like VCU and High Point were trendy upset picks, but the Power 5 conference team is taking care of business so far across the board.
Yeah, this one to me seems pretty obvious in the BYU-VCU. If you think it's a coin flip, take the team from the better conference. Like, I don't think that Georgia and Gonzaga was a coin flip by any means. I think that was a coin flip in those games. And you know BYU's got a veteran team, and we've seen them have the ability to get absolutely hot and run good teams off the floor. I liked BYU. My prediction is going correctly, as they're all over VCU in this one. BYU, who's the 3 seed in their region? Because BYU is going to give that 3 seed problems in the second round.
Drew Nixon and Wisconsin are sweating right now.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a good one. BYU-Wisconsin's actually going to be a lot of fun. That's one of the better games of the tournament. You know I like Wisconsin.
You've been all Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Carrington, now going to the games that went final earlier today. We don't have to waste time with Houston or Auburn. They both took care of business.
Yeah, we don't got to waste any 116.
But you look across college basketball. Wisconsin beat Montana in a 314. Purdue beat High Point in a 413. CJ Moore said it on this show earlier this week. He was on Monday, and he said the mid-major might be dead in college basketball, the mid-major run, because all the best players are currently playing at high majors. Outside of McNeese State, which is a product of Clemson playing bad as much as anything.
And to be fair, though, I mean, McNeese State also has one of the 10 best coaches in college basketball. Will Wade is a phenomenal coach. Now, he might not be the most ethical college basketball coach, but I don't know if you can be ethical and win in college basketball at a very, very high level. McNeese State is they are the exception to the rule when it comes to a mid-major team because of who their coach is and how he recruits.
I would agree. Meanwhile, outside of that, is CJ Moore right? Is the mid-major, we talked about it yesterday in the show, is the mid-major kind of dead? Because early window, there were a lot of sexy upset picks. VCU, High Point, keep an eye on these teams. It's a whole lot of nothing so far from that group of teams.
Yeah, I don't want to have that opinion quite yet. I don't want to have that opinion yet as we are, I mean, we're not even through the second game of the first session yet of round one of the NCAA tournament. And there's still a handful of mid-majors. Drake is still in this thing. UC San Diego is still in this thing. A couple of the other popular upsets that people like are still very much alive in this tournament. So I certainly understand the point that CJ Moore is making. I'm not ready to say that now, as we're not even at dinner time in the end of the first round of games.
Speaking of the first round of games, let's look ahead to how the nightcap will begin. We won't talk about Kansas or Missouri because we'll have a longer conversation about them, but I'll actually skip past Wofford and Tennessee, too, because 2:15s, who cares? Texas A&M and Yale, Carrington, that game's set to tip off in about 2 hours, similar time to the Missouri game. This is another trendy upset pick. If the Power Fives keep dominating, can we agree with CJ Moore as A&M has Yale in 2 hours?
Yeah, you know, I like A&M. I think A&M's a pretty good team. I think they're capable of going on a little bit of a run. It's kind of weird. They're probably one of the more forgotten teams in the SEC. Like, for some reason, we've spent more time talking about Ole Miss than we talked about A&M, even though A&M was the better team out of the two. That is a good game, though. I think Yale's going to be a very disciplined team, but I do like A&M to win that game.
I'll just skip past the games we don't care about, like St. John's and Omaha. UCLA was on our KenPom list, Carrington. If you listened to the show yesterday, catching the podcast page, we mentioned the teams that have all the criteria to win a national title. 7-seeded UCLA is one of them. They play later tonight against Utah State. Is UCLA a 7-seed prime for a run because of KenPom, or is Utah State going to pull the upset tonight?
I've seen a lot of, I guess, conflicting reports on this about what people think and if people think they can go on a run or if people don't think they can go on a run. It's a little bit split. I do think that's pretty interesting. I would say with them, I would take UCLA, but I'm not even going to sit here and fake like I know. I've maybe watched UCLA one time this year. I've never watched Utah State play. I would say take the higher seed, but I'm not here to give you guys false bracket information. If I don't know, I'll just tell you guys that I don't know.
Carrington, final game of the night. If you're looking for a nightcap, it's designed to tip at 9 p.m. local time. We both know it's going to be later than that.
Yeah, for sure.
It is the biggest upset people have been talking about, the 5-12 Michigan-San Diego. Do you think that is the upset of the day, or is Michigan going to take control of business?
Yeah, I don't really understand why everybody is against Michigan in this one. They're playing great basketball. They just won the Big Ten tournament. I like Michigan in this one. I understand that some of the analytics like UC San Diego, but I'm going to go with Michigan in this one. I'm going to zig when everybody is zagging. I feel like maybe people are down on the Big Ten. They said the same thing earlier today about Purdue. They said that Purdue was going to be that team, and they ended up being wrong, I think, when it comes to that. So, yeah, I'm going to ride with Michigan on this one. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Sam Snelling, who covers the Missouri Tigers. They got a matchup coming up later today against the Drake Bulldogs. Sam, appreciate you popping on the show today. As always, man, let's start with this. I'm looking at this from a Missouri fan. What is it that concerns you the most about Drake heading into the 6-11 matchup?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, conventional wisdom is going to say that, that the pace that Drake plays with is going to be a concern, because they're so patient. They're patient offensively. You know, they stay in front of you on defense. I think one of the things that, Missouri is going to be trying to take advantage of is Drake is not a particularly, big team. They're not a team that protects the rim very well. So I think Missouri is really going to focus on trying to drive the ball. And I also think, one of the things that, and again, kind of talking about tropes, Missouri has a reputation of a team that wants to play fast. And certainly they're a team that likes to hit an early clock, action and run off turnovers. But Dennis Gates, they don't really play at a super fast pace, for most of the game. They're very patient on offense, and they're not afraid to go deep into the shot clock. So I think that's just the style of offense that Gates plays in the half court. So I think it's one of those things that could maybe play to their advantage, the fact that they are comfortable, playing at a slower pace. And the main thing is, I think what they're going to do is look to get to the rim. Now, what Drake does well, is going to cause problems, is they take care of the ball. And they do force turnovers. So it's one of those things where, if Missouri comes out, plays the way that they're capable of playing, shoots the ball at a reasonable clip, and takes care of the basketball, I think this is a game where they should win, comfortably. But the thing that makes Drake so good is they don't always allow you to do those things.
Right now, we're talking to Sam Snelling of Rock M Nation, a go-to website if you're a Missouri Tigers fan, getting you ready for their matchup coming up later today. That's the thing that worries me in this game, is it is the definition of styles make fights. Missouri wants to run. Missouri wants to increase possessions, where Drake plays the exact opposite. They want to take away possessions. They were dead last in offensive tempo. It feels to me as simple as whichever team can control the style of the fight is ultimately the team that's going to win later today.
Well, and I think that's kind of the thing, is I think that the more important factor that you're probably going to be keeping track of if you're a Missouri fan is what kind of shots is Missouri taking? Are they able to generate, closer in looks? Are they able to get, paint attacks? And are they able to kind of get guys Anthony Robinson and Tony Perkins and Tamar Bates and certainly Mark Mitchell going in and around the rim? Certainly Drake, their focus is going to be on, extending the shot clock, where, Missouri, again, Missouri does want to play fast in cases, but, if they're going to get a turnover, they're going to push the pace. If they're going to, get a rebound, they're going to look to attack early, but if Drake gets back on defense, they're not going to force something that isn't there. And I think the main thing is is Missouri able to attack the paint? More so than when is Missouri able to, to kind of generate their shots. And I think if they're able to attack the paint, if they're able to kind of get, in and around the basket, then I think they're going to have success offensively.
As someone who just loves good basketball, I'm really excited for the point guard matchup today. Maybe it's because I have followed Bennett Sturt's game so closely, him playing high school basketball here in the city, and I've been watching him for the last handful of years, and also tracking Anthony Robinson through the AAU circuit and Nike EYBL, and now getting a chance to see those two guys go at it later today. Also, Tony Perkins, you throw him in the mix, a guy who's an experienced point guard. I think the point guard matchup on both sides is going to be a lot of fun today.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, you know, one of the bigger keys for Missouri is you know, what are they able to do, you know, with Sturts, and are they able to kind of slow him down, particularly in those pick and rolls? You know, it's one of those things that that Drake is really, really good at is you know, their approach to offensively is obviously, you know, to play with a slower pace, but they're really, really good in the pick and roll and getting Sturts, and not just Sturts, but also, you know, running like ghost screens with Muscari, and, you know, and getting him, you know, good clean looks. You know, that's going to be a big challenge for Missouri is how are they going to handle ball screens? Because, you know, the Bulldogs are incredibly skilled at reading ball screens, and they're really, really good when you trap ball screens. And so Missouri's tried a variety of coverages. I'm curious to see kind of like their approach and if they, you know, just switch them or if they blitz them or if they, you know, try to go drop coverage or whatever. But, you know, but Sturts is certainly a guy that they're going to have to be acutely in tune to in the half court.
Right now we're talking to Sam Snelling, who covers the Missouri Tigers, one of the top analysts when it comes to breaking down college basketball. He works for Rock'em Nation, getting you ready for Missouri's game coming up later today against the Drake Bulldogs. Who do you see as potentially being an X factor for Missouri? I like the size and length of Trent Pierce. He struggled a little bit in the second half of the season, but this feels like a matchup that he could potentially exploit.
Well, yeah, Trent is a guy that I think is always going to be a tough matchup just because, you know, like there aren't very many 6'10 wings out there, and that's really what he is. You know, he's a 3-and-D kind of floor spacer. He's not afraid to attack off the bounce. But of the guys that I'm, like, most curious to see sort of, you know, how they play and what they do is probably Bates. You know, he's a KCK kid. Playing close to home, you know, but he was really kind of struggling, you know, down the stretch of the season. But those last two games in the SEC tournament, it's like he sort of rekindled what had been missing. When Tamar Bates is playing well, like Missouri is one of the most difficult teams to beat because not only do you have Mitchell, not only do you have basically a pick'em of, you know, who's going to play well in Perkins or Robinson, but having that you know, kind of scoring wing type in Bates, and he just unlocks so many things and really forces defenses to pay attention to you know, how he drives the basketball, how he's able to sort of generate shots around the rim. And then, of course, that opens, you know, a lot of lanes for shooters like, you know, like Caleb Grill, Jacob Cruz. So if we're kind of, you know, being in tune, like I would really pay attention to Tamar and sort of what kind of, you know, play Tamar can provide the Tigers.
Sam, it sounds to me like you're picking Missouri to win tonight. I'm picking Missouri to win tonight as well. I am worried about this game. Don't get me wrong. I think that Drake is the best mid-major basketball team in the country, but I think the depth of Missouri, I think the size down low with Mark Mitchell, I think Missouri just has too many things to beat Drake in a couple of different ways, where I think Drake can only really beat Missouri in one way. Drake has to beat Missouri in a low-scoring game that's played in the 60s. I trust Missouri's ability to get this game played into maybe the 70s or the 80s, and I'm just not sure if Drake can keep up at that pace.
Well, see, that, as you know, I do like my analytics, you know, and there's a reason that Missouri is a, you know, a 7-10 chance to win this game. You know, they're a better basketball team. The SEC is a really, you know, really great league this year. I am picking, you know, Missouri to win this game. I think you do have to give credit to Drake for what they're able to do. You know, but Missouri proved game after game after game all year long that they're one of the 20 best teams in the country. They played in the best league. They did have some struggles down the stretch, but they were losing to high level tournament teams or teams that are in the tournament on the road. You know, they lost to a 1 seed, a 3 seed. You know, they lost to an 8 seed and a 10 seed on the road. I think when you get into the tournament environment and you get into this neutral court, I think Missouri just has a better team, and the better team most of the time wins. That's why they're a 7-10 chance to win. It's the tournament, so things can always go haywire. Things can always get weird. And I think, I think it's possible that, that Drake beats Missouri. Like, I don't think this is a game that Missouri's going to win by 20. But I do think that there's like a lot of national people who are picking Drake, you know, and not really paying attention to, you know, how good Missouri has been all season. And one of the things that makes them so good is that they've been consistently great on offense. And when the defense shows up, they've just been, you know, like one of the more unbeatable teams in the country. And that's that should take you at least out of the first round, make life tough for whoever it is in the second round, potentially getting to a Sweet 16. So I really like the Tigers' draw. You know, it is a tournament. Anything can happen, but I think they pull this out.
That is my guy, Sam Snelling, joining us on the show today. Sam, I appreciate you, man.
See that? Let's talk soon.
Absolutely. That is Sam Snelling joining us on the show, who covers the Missouri Tigers. Let's do this. Let's step aside. Let's update you on scores. What we'll also do is I'll give you my X factor for Missouri. Rob will give you his X factor for Kansas. I also want to talk a little bit more about Bennett Sturts, because he is a story that every single person should rally around. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Let me give you guys who I think is a potential X factor for the Missouri Tigers today. And what I mean by X factor is, if you've been following Mizzou, obviously, Mark Mitchell has to play well. They need Caleb Grill to shoot it well. Tamar Bates. I'm not talking about your star players. I think Trent Pierce is a potential X factor for the Missouri Tigers. He has really struggled the last couple of months or so. In fact, the last time that Trent Pierce scored double-digit points, it was against Arkansas back in the middle of January. We were talking about 2 months that he hasn't had at least double digits in a game. I think Missouri is going to need either Trent Pierce to play well, or I think they're going to need Anthony Robinson to play really well. When Robinson plays well, he is such a catalyst to everything they do offensively and defensively. The thing that I am most looking forward to in this matchup is the point guard matchup, with Bennett Sturts going up against Anthony Robinson or going up against Tony Perkins, the veteran, the transfer from Iowa. So I'm looking at either Trent Pierce as a potential X factor for this team, or I'm looking at Anthony Robinson as two guys, and you probably just need one of them to play well in this matchup. But I'm looking at Trent Pierce as a guy. He's 6'10". There is not a lot of size on that Drake team. In fact, the tallest guy on Drake is 6'7". This is a game in which Missouri should be able to dominate down low, whether it's with Joshua Gray, whether it's with Trent Pierce, whether it's with Mark Mitchell. Drake cannot match with the size and physicality down low of Missouri. They just simply don't have the bodies to be able to do it. This is also a game in which if you could get Drake into a little bit of foul trouble, they only play seven individuals, where Missouri, they give a lot of their guys minutes and it's pretty evenly distributed. There are some things that I think Missouri can take advantage of and win this game. I think that Drake's only real chance of winning this game is controlling the tempo and pace of the game. If this game is played into the 70s, that is just not a game that Drake has won too many times this year. And if this gets played into the 80s, then I think there's a chance that Drake got blown out in this matchup. I don't think that's going to be the case. This feels to me like a 71-65 Missouri game. I feel like Drake is going to be able to do some things that control the tempo. Ultimately, I think the size and athleticism for Missouri is going to be too much in this matchup. And I think the Tigers are moving to the second round of the tournament. All right, that is the Missouri side of this segment. Rob, I want to give you your chance. Who do you see as the X factor potentially for the Jayhawks, and who could play a major role in helping them advance to the next round?
So X factor to me means a little bit off the beaten path. I know Brian Haney, who's on the show earlier, you can catch on the podcast page, he said Zeke Mayo. I think Zeke Mayo is also that guy, but I don't know, being like, hey, the KU's best three-point shooter is real X factor. So I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path for you. I think Flory Badunga is a real big X factor tonight. Everyone we have talked to, everything you read, is that the front court for Arkansas is not good. Their second best scorer, their power forward, 6'8", he's not playing tonight. Big Z, he is not a post defender. They struggle against size. Hunter Dickinson should have a good game. He's a third team All-American. He should play well. But If you can throw waves of bodies and waves of size at Arkansas, you can stymie what they do best, which is get downhill and try to drive the lane. If you can have Floyd Badunga, who's a better shot blocker than he is offensive player, start to stifle Arkansas at the rim, now you have Hunter Dickinson that can score on one side in the post, and you have Floyd Badunga on the other side that can erase balls at the post. If you can get a shot-blocking presence against a smaller guard-oriented Arkansas team, they will start settling for jumpers. And if they start settling for jumpers, that is most likely to the advantage of Kansas, because they are not a great jump shooting team. And when they don't get to the rim, they are obviously offensively worse. So Floyd Badunga is my X factor, because if he can be a little bit of an eraser, I don't need him to be Dikembe Mutombo or Jeff Withey at the rim, but just create havoc and make them settle for long twos and threes, I think Kansas has a chance to win because they have a massive size advantage.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back to the NCAA tournament, maybe going around the tournament and everything that's going on. I do want to talk about this for just a little bit. I don't think it matters what team you cheer for. I'm a Missouri fan. Rob is a KU fan. Maybe you're a K-State fan. Maybe you cheer for Duke or another program, whatever it is. Players like Bennett Sturts are what make college basketball so much fun. Now, maybe I feel a little bit differently about this story because he is a kid that I've seen his game grow over the last 4 or 5 years. First time I saw Bennett Sturts play was a sophomore in high school. To now be able to watch him play as a sophomore in the NCAA tournament is a pretty cool full circle moment, so to speak. We're talking about a kid who was one of the best high school basketball players in the state of Missouri. All-state two separate times, took his team to the state championship, played for his pops up at Liberty. He was one of the best players in Kansas City during his time. He did not have a single Division I offer. UMKC didn't offer him. KU didn't offer him. K-State didn't offer him. Was not interested in watching him play. Went to Northwest Missouri State, who is one of the best programs in college basketball. I don't care if it's D1, 1AA, D2. Northwest Missouri State, over the last 10 to 15 years, they have earned being called one of the best programs in college basketball. He was then the best freshman in the MIAA. He then transferred with his head coach to Drake. All right, that's a big jump. To go from not getting a D1 offer to playing really, really well in D2 and being the best freshman in a basketball-rich conference like the MIAA, and then you go to Drake and you have become not just one of the best mid-major guards in the country, you are one of the best point guards, period, in the country. He was an honorable mention All-American. We're talking about a guy who, again, 2 years ago did not have a Division I college basketball offer. If his head coach leaves, and I believe that Ben McCollum is going to leave, I think that Ben McCollum is going to take the Iowa job. I think they're waiting until the season is over. He is from Des Moines. You get a chance to be the head coach of Iowa. You take that job. You go from Drake, and you take the Iowa job. And if you ball out at the Iowa job, you can then make your pick of what kind of college basketball coach you want to be. Bennett Sturts will be the point guard at Iowa next year. He will be a first-team, all-Big Ten kind of guard. That's college basketball. The player development, the following a kid story, that's college basketball. So again, I don't care what team that you cheer for. Obviously, I want to see Missouri win. If they lose to Drake, I will obviously be disappointed. I will shift all of my fandom that I have for Missouri, and I will root like hell for Drake to make the Sweet 16 and beat Texas Tech or whoever they play in the next round. I really think that Drake is the best mid-major team in the country. Now, you might could argue McNeese State, because we just saw McNeese State, what they just did to Clemson.
Drake would have done that to Clemson, though, too.
That was a very, very impressive, and I'm with you. Drake would have beat Clemson today, too. But I'm talking about this is a very, very well-coached mid-major team. This is a very, very talented mid-major team that has a chance of hanging with. Missouri, at times, has played like one of the 20 best teams in college basketball this year. They were certainly worthy of being a team that was ranked this year. They were worthy of a lot of the accolades. And sure, they slipped up in some spots. They lost road games to tournament teams. It's not like we're looking at Missouri's schedule and they got a, I don't know how you guys lost that loss. This has been a team that beat Kansas, beat Florida, beat Alabama this year, hung tough with Tennessee, hung tough with Texas A&M. Missouri has been one of the more consistent teams in college basketball this year. I think it's going to be a really, really good game. All right, let's step aside here. We'll get you ready for what we have coming up later tonight. We've got KU going up against Arkansas. We got Missouri going up against Drake. We got a handful of games coming up this evening. We'll also let you hear from people from Arkansas, from Drake, from Missouri, from Kansas. We will go around around the country and get you ready for the matchups coming up later this evening. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.